Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to join you today, and I pray that you're joining us in this broadcast by way of radio and that you have invited friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances to join with you in tuning in each day. Let me invite you to do so. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. You've heard me say so many times down through the years, it's not what I think, say, or do, but what the Word of God says that is the most important thing for our life and living. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is a lamp unto our pathway and a light unto our feet, and we ought to allow the Word of God to illumine and give us directions as to what He would have us do and whatever issue we may be faced with at any point in time. As we study the Word of God, it is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And if you've not found that to be true, you've not been out in the world very much, because if we stand for truth, the world's going to hate us, despise us, persecute us as Christians. We do this broadcast each day in the prayerful hopes that it will be educational, informational, and directive. It will be something that would inspire you to be more actively involved in the study of the Scripture. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. We need to study the Word. It is the Word of God that should motivate, mandate, and direct our footsteps in all that we do and say. And ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and may I say, at the risk of redundancy, may I say once again, as we look at the Bible, we find that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So listen very carefully. Any issue that we speak on, when I say we, I'm speaking of pastors, preachers, Christians in general, any issue that we speak on that's in the realm of the home, of government, or the church, are biblical issues. Therefore, don't let anyone intimidate you by telling you that you ought not to talk about those things, especially when it comes to Christians and pastors in general, when it comes to our trying to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and use the application and the illustration of what's happening in the world and warn the world of what's taking place morally, ethically, and spiritually in our nation, and encourage them to study the Word. There's a movement in America that's very much like in China today, where Christians are being demeaned and hated and considered a cult, and where Christians are absolutely morphing to conform to the will and the way and the word of society rather than the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I believe should grasp the attention of every listener and should cause us to understand where we are and where we're headed as a result of it. Talking about today the issue of silence in the pulpits. Silence in the pulpits. Let me encourage you during the course of this broadcast today, anytime you want to jump in with your thoughts and additions to it or ask your questions in relationship to this broadcast, you can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss this together today. It's a very serious issue. It's a very serious broadcast today. And I pray that you'll listen up, and perhaps even if you're not driving, where you can take some notes, because I think it is worth you considering beyond just this broadcast time today. But let me remind you again, that broadcast call-in number is 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, may I simply begin this broadcast with a quote from John Quincy Adams. He was America's statesman, diplomat, lawyer, served as the 6th President of the United States of America, also served as the 8th United States of America Secretary of State, 1817 to 1825. John Quincy Adams said, and let me quote slowly, "The principle that a whole nation has a right to do whatever it pleases cannot in any sense whatsoever be admitted as true. The eternal and immutable laws of justice and morality are paramount to all human legislation. The violations of those laws is certainly with the power of a nation, but it is not the right of nations," end quote. So what did John Quincy Adams say in that elongated quote that I just gave you? Simply summarized, he said, "You may feel that you have individually and collectively as a nation, that you have the right to commit immoral acts and to disobey God's laws, his laws of justice and morality, but you can't and you will not be able to do so and get away with it." Now, may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be one of the admonitions for us today. You see, it was back in the early history of America. It was the norm. It was not unusual, it was the norm for pastors from the pulpit to preach biblical messages against sin, against immorality in society, and against those political leaders of that day that were deviating from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You see, in that culture and in that day, it was expected by the pastors and the political leaders to love the Lord, to serve God, and to be obedient to His word. And when politicians did not do that, they were summarily chastised from the pulpits in America by pastors that were standing on the Word of God with solid authority to do so and calling them out. Their messages were then reduced to printed form. They didn't have the multiple presses we have today. Of course, they didn't have the internet as we have today. So, their messages were reduced to bulletin board size summaries and placed on the bulletin boards in Center Square so that every citizen could read what the pastor had to say about the Word of God and about how the politicians of that era, if they were deviating from it or if they were doing something wrong or harmful to the city and society based on morals, ethics, and values and justice, they were called out. The pastors did so with the authority of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I ask the question today, where are the voices of the watchmen on the wall? Where are the voices crying out the transgressions of the political leadership and of the people? Isaiah 58 and verse 1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voices like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a clarion call to every believer today. To stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be vocal. Do not be intimidated. Do not be fearful of stating what the Word of God says and challenging and calling out sin as it is in our society. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but America's on a jumbo 777 full steam ahead, full throttle, going into oblivion. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is being intimidated, being demeaned, and multitudes of voices are being silenced, and in particular, the voice of the pastors, where it ought to be speaking out and warning of the transgression in our nation, they're being silenced today as never before. Today, most denominations, most churches, most pastors, multitudes, if not most Christians today, are devoid of any voice to be heard. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, pastors today, generally speaking, pastors now have literally devolved to the political correctness and the standard of silence. The political correctness says that you ought not to say anything about the political leadership. You ought not to say anything about Cummings from Baltimore because you'll be called a racist. You ought not to say anything about the Mad Squad, or as I've just read recently, a Christian publication called them the Jihad Squad, That's the Islamic squad, the jihad squad. If you say anything about those four women that are wanting to undermine Tehran and destroy America, the four that now is the de facto leaders of the U.S. House of Representatives, if you say anything about them, all of a sudden you're racist. If you say anything about Islam, you're an Islamophobic. If you say anything about any of the sin factors in America today, somehow, some way, we as Christians are criticized. And ladies and gentlemen, the sad thing is pastors are creeping into the closet of political correctness because they don't want to offend anybody. And how better could I illustrate that than recently with David Platt in Virginia, when President Trump came into his church and he prayed over him as he should have done, prayed for him as was biblical and is admirable and should have been done. But then because some loose, lax, lost liberals in his church got bent out of shape with him, he then publicly apologized for praying for our president. That's political correctness gone awry. That's silence in the pulpits that is destroying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to not devolve to political correctness. We ought to stand and we ought to say, thus saith the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, again, let me remind you that when we take a stand on biblical issues, we're taking a stand on the home issues, the family issues, the church issues, and political issues. God created government, according to Romans 13, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, as a servant of God. And as a servant of God, the government has the responsibility to punish evil and to protect good. But it's being done the reverse of that today. And as a response of that, churches are silent. Pastors are silent. They're not standing up and speaking up, and therefore we're watching the diminution of the church and the voice of the church in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, there's silence about murder by way of abortion. There's silence today about the sodomite lifestyle and the LGBTQ agenda. There's silence about the invasion of Islam and its dangers. There's silence about the Socialist Democratic Party that if left to continue its agenda will destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and will remove every religious liberty that we have. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Democratic Party today, they're not concerned about our Bill of Rights. They're not concerned about our religious liberties and freedom of speech. They're not concerned about the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, all 20 of the present Socialist Democrat candidates running for president, they want to confiscate guns. They want to force socialism onto the American citizens. They want to take from those that are working and give to those that are worthless. They want to, and I say that tongue in cheek, because multitudes there sitting and wanting to go to the table and eat, but without the benefit of working for it. But ladies and gentlemen, we're silent about that in our pulpits today. Perhaps you say, why should the pulpit speak on these issues? Why should we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as pastors on these issues? Because it is that we have the life and the life's blood and the future of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ weighing in the balance of the politically correct agenda today in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist democratic agenda is to force sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda, the invasion of Islam and all of its dangers. And the Socialist Democratic Party stand for these issues, and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is silent. We're silent today, ladies and gentlemen, about the progression and the Progressive Party, as they call themselves, and what they're wanting to do with silencing your voice and my voice, and the confiscation of guns in America that will bring America under the tutelage and the directorship, if you please, of dictators in our nation. Yes, today's pulpits are silent about sin, silent about immorality, silent about the false teachers. Why is this so? I believe it's because there's a fear of offending someone or the loss of numbers, nickels, and noses, as I call it today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We invite you to call 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you'd like to, as someone put it recently, add your 2 cents worth. That's wonderful. We'd be delighted to have your thoughts and suggestions. We'd be delighted to hear your insight on this subject. But ladies and gentlemen, social justice is now the modern progressive agenda for the church, and our pulpits are silent in relationship to that. One writer said, we have 300,000 pulpits across America, and politically correctness, and as a result of that, we're silent. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Political Sermons in the American Revolution. Let me just read you a blurb from it because I think it is vital for us to understand what is said in this particular portion. It says here this principle that the whole nation has a right to do whatever it pleases cannot in any sense whatsoever be admitted as true. The eternal and immutable laws of justice and morality are paramount to all human legislation. The violations of those laws is certainly within the power of a nation, but it's not among the rights of nations. That was part of the quote that I just gave you from John Quincy Adams. But notice this further in the article. Inspiration for the collection of the sermons that this particular writer's putting together came over a number of years as the research was done from the American founders in political philosophy. He says here, and this writer says, I discovered that the pulpits of the American Revolution, to borrow the title of John Wingate Thornton 1860 collection, was the source of exciting and uncommonly important material. What had passed for pamphlets in my reading of excerpted 18th century American material often turned out to be published sermons. I began to realize, he said, that this material, showing the perspective of biblical faith concerning fundamental questions of human existence during the nation's formative period, was extraordinarily abundant and extraordinarily little known. But ladies and gentlemen, we're far from that today. We're in a position today that the life of the church, the religious liberties, and the freedom of speech that we have are on the line. Let me just read you several elongated quotes from a magnanimous article entitled 300,000 Pulpits Across America Remain Politically Correct and Silent. It's written by Rob Pugh, July the 28th of 2019, and it's from the news source that's News with Views, which is a Christian news site online. I commend it to you if you have not pulled that up. That's News with Views, Christian news. This article says Christianity as an institution is dead in America. It has been deemed good for nothing and has been thrown out and trampled in the streets. For at least two generations now, children have grown up attending America's churches with their parents every week, leave their faith behind when they grow up and leave home, never to return. And can you blame them? What they experienced growing up in modern American churches was nothing more than vain, powerless religion, end quote. Further in this elongated article, this writer says, the communist, homosexual, and social justice, social agendas have infiltrated our seminaries and Bible colleges, and they have been churning out new pastors who may have a head full of knowledge, but the knowledge they've acquired is flawed. Their goal now is to make friends, not disciples. Further, the article says they first want to be liked, and they want to be popular among the people. They desire to be hip and cool in hopes of filling the seats with happy followers to enjoy going to church, because there they find a comfortable social club, entertainment, and good times. Perhaps maybe an opportunity to do good and to do good works and to feel good about themselves. Unfortunately, too often, what they do not find any longer is God. Further in the article, today pastors are the last people in the world who ever enter into controversy. They're happy if they can just maintain the saints, the status quo, keep everyone content, and not make anyone uncomfortable because they view this as being wrong. The article continues, sadly, today, I dare say that most churchgoers never, ever truly obey Christ in a day in their lives. They've never witnessed anyone, nor even their own spouses. They've never confronted evil with the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. They've never been in a situation where lies, falsehood, deception were being prompted and accepted, promoted and accepted, and never been brave enough to stand up, speak up, and say no based on the Word of God, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from an article, a multi-page article, 300,000 pulpits across America remain politically correct and silent. It's from News with Views, which is a Christian news site. This article further says, American Christianity has become all about socializing, about feel-good messages and happy, uplifting sing-alongs time that they call worship. Prayer in our modern churches is all about us. What can God do for us? So it is any wonder Christianity in America is so powerless and irrelevant today? Today, the ideologies of Islam, communism, and perverted sex are quickly overtaking our culture. I see no way to turn things around at this point, because all good is called evil and all evil is called good. Modern American faithful churchgoers simply go along to get along. Scripture tells us we are to have nothing to do with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather we are to expose them, speak up, tell the truth, push back. The church is to be God's restraining influence against evil in the world. But pastors have turned us to dumb dogs who will not speak, in most cases, because we don't know enough to say anything about it, end quote. So today, our world, we have perverted sexuality of all kinds being accepted, promoted, and celebrated as normal. In our schools, in our media, in our entertainment, in our political libraries, in our government, in our workplaces, even in our churches. And then the article says, and 300,000 pulpits in America are absolutely silent on the matter. And I'll give you four of the little brief poignant points from this article, and I commend it to you. Go online, look it up. Title of the article is 300,000 pulpits across America remain politically correct and silent. This article says, today we have a man running for president of the United States that identifies as his wife as a sodomite partner, and people are taking him seriously as a candidate. He is very well liked and popular among the people. Countless cities across American nation hold pride festivals and parades and LGBTQ flags, and raised over official government buildings in celebration of pride, the pride of sodomy. What's more, not only is sexual perversion pushed among our children from time of birth, now we have cities that even state passing laws making it illegal for clergymen and counselors to tell kids the truth about all of this, and the pulpits are silent. Today we have Muslims in public office, from school boards to city council meetings up to Congress and judiciary, et cetera, et cetera. And again, we have 300,000 pulpits in America that are absolutely silent. Today, despite the fact that we have irrefutable proof that life begins at conception, and know without any shadow of a doubt that babies in the womb are real living human beings, we have those who push the laws and pass laws into existence who can only describe what they're doing as infanticide. But yet we have 300,000 pulpits silent. When real Christian followers, real Holy Spirit-filled believers and children of God stand against these unrighteous things and push back against the forces of evil, they are labeled racist, radicals, haters, and bigots, homophobes, Islamophobes, right-wing pro-lifers, and activists. He says, I have to ask the question, when did it become such an outrage? When did it become so radical to stand up and speak the truth? When did it become so wrong to be a restraining force against evil? Yes, evil. And that has swept our world off its feet and twisted our minds into delusion and depravity. When did that become wrong? And especially, why do most of our pastors today think of those of us who work to stand up for righteousness and God's truth and the truth of the Word of God as being radical troublemakers? What is wrong with the pulpits today? Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the elongated quotes, but it was so powerful I had to state it in the context in which it was written. It is powerful for us to understand, ladies and gentlemen. It's also a sad factor for us to realize that it is the truth of what's happening in our great nation today. We must not remain silent. We must stand. When House Bill 5 was passed by 240 legislators in the U.S. House of Representatives, and now it is Senate Bill 788, with 46 senators standing for it, it's called the Equality Act. If it passes into law, if it's ever signed into law, ladies and gentlemen, it will close the church doors. It will make any speech, anything that's said verbally, visibly, with the voice being heard in society. If you stand against the LGBTQ agenda, if you stand against folks like Pete Buttigieg that's running for president of the United States of America, that's a out-of-the-closet, in-your-face sodomite and says that God made him that way, if this law passes, you can't say anything publicly about that. If this law passes, the sodomite lifestyle and murder by way of abortion will be hate speech, and it will destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't be passionate enough about it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, "Where have all the pulpits gone?" It's by Watchman Radio Hour. It's by Alex Dodson. It says in this article, "As I was sitting in the chapel of local seminary where a congregation was meeting temporarily, I noticed the pulpit had been moved to the far corner. The stage where the pulpit probably once stood in the center was cleared. The musicians had taken over the stage, and when it came time to preach, the minister used a small music stand to put his Bible and notes on. So many evangelical churches today have put the pulpit aside, cleared off the stage. Many preachers don't even use a lectern anymore. They just walk around on the stage to give their message to the people. Could this be an indication of the value that the modern evangelical church puts on the Word of God? Where is the powerful messages of the preaching of the Word of God that was heard by generations past? It seems that the kind of preaching that has largely faded away. Most evangelical preachers today seem to give talks to their congregation rather than a powerful sermon from the Word of God. Of course, there are exceptions to this, but it seems to be fair game for the modern evangelical churches today." And he finalizes this article. "The powerful preaching of the Word of God has mostly been replaced today by friendly talks from the stage. However, this has not always been the case. In times past, the pulpit was the powerful place, and men came to the church to hear from God and the Word of God being proclaimed with great power and great conviction." Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Jeremiah warns, this article says, Dr. David Jeremiah warns the modern church, its entertainment-driven social organization, afraid of controversy. Dr. Jeremiah says, "Many U.S. churches today have forgotten their purpose, becoming entertainment-driven social organizations eager to blend with the secular society instead of focusing on biblical discipleship." Pastor Jeremiah warned, "The church is coming under attack. It's forgotten what the church is supposed to be." Jeremiah went on to say, "We're not an entertainment service. We're not here to see how close we can get to what the world does. But there's so much of the world in the church and vice versa that we cannot tell the difference. We have to hold to the truth. We have to stand for the truth. We have to get nourished. It's not happening. You're a social organization and not a church," Dr. Jeremiah said. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on, but may I simply hasten to simply say, we need to recognize today that in America, we have legalized drugs, we've legalized sodomite marriages, we've legalized murder by way of abortion. We are allowing the Islamic invasion to come in. Bible in schools has been banned. No prayer allowed in our schools. The cross is under attack, and the churches are silent. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. The scripture says again, may I read it, in Isaiah 58:1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voices like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression." I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that this broadcast has been a challenge to you, and I'm looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.